Trust Business Lunchtime. I'm Bob Surratt.
And I'm Marianne Murciano.
And coming up in this hour, we'll check on the cloud tax controversy around here. Also, you may have some new controls over your Facebook feed. Scott Kleinberg has the social media beat. And we'll check on the concert business, too. First, let's have a little traveling music. It's Johnny Jett from JohnnyJett.com. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Johnny.
How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing good. Always good to talk to you about travel. And there was good news this week about domestic airfares. They say this fall they will fall to a four-year low. What have you noticed, Johnny?
But I like to hear that. You know, it all depends on the routes. So, you know, I fly a lot L.A., New York, or L.A.-Toronto, and the fares are not going down. But there are routes where you can go, and, you know, Virgin America just had a crazy sale a couple days ago where you could go, you know, L.A. to Vegas for $38 each way. And there's all kinds of fares you can find, including out of Chicago.
I want to hear more about fares like that. $38 from Chicago on Virgin Airlines anywhere.
I'm not sure. Is Virgin America still flying out of Chicago? I think they are.
They do have some flights out of here.
Yeah, so they had a deal going out. All their flights were really cheap this past week for 8 hours, since Travel and Leisure named them as one of the top domestic airline.
They say lower fuel prices and increased competition from the low-cost carriers are driving prices lower than we've seen in a while. Again, that's for the fall.
Yeah, well, the fall is, you know, that's the slow time because that's everyone goes back to school. Most people are going back to work. The business travelers are starting to head out, so they, you know, they'll fill up the front of the plane. But, you know, they're trying to fill these planes for the leisure destination. So that's, you know, if you want to go to Hawaii, that's the time to go, is the fall.
All right. That sounds like a great idea to me, Hawaii anytime. But recently, last week, there was a story about how airlines were possibly conspiring to keep prices up. Did you hear about this?
Of course,
and
yeah.
What do you make of that?
You know, it's going to be very difficult for the Justice Department to find them guilty. So they were saying that there was collusion and that they were each talking behind, you know, saying, hey, you raise your prices, we will too. Don't add more planes or more seats. So I don't know if it's true. I doubt it, but, you know, the airlines have not increased their seats. You know, usually when the gas prices get low and the economy gets better, they start increasing their routes, getting more seats on the plane, and they haven't been doing it. So they're able to keep the fares really high. And that's why I'm seeing, you know, New York, L.A., I used to be able to go for $150 each way. Right now you're looking at it's like $250. So, you know, I don't think they're doing it. There's no way they're going to prove it, but, you know, something's fishy.
There is good news here in Chicago about American Airlines. They've added some seasonal routes from O'Hare to skiing destinations, Jackson Hole, Aspen, and Telluride. So that is good news for us around here.
Whenever they add routes like that, by the way, that's when you want to jump on them, because usually when they offer a new route, they have a sale. So I find that often, especially with like JetBlue, whenever they put a sale out or whenever they start a new route, they want to fill those seats up. So jump on it right away and see if they're offering a sale.
Good advice.
And I know that if we check in with JohnnyJett.com on a regular basis, we can find out about what's the latest. But is there a way to get notified when out of Chicago that are going to the only notices I get are to places that I would probably never visit.
Right. Well, you know, I do have a deals newsletter, and I do try to put Chicago deals in there. But there are newsletters you can sign up to. So Airfare Watchdog, you can just put in Chicago, and they'll tell you, although, you know, they're not always the greatest deals, the best thing to do is to sign up to all the airlines and follow these guys on Twitter, follow the different travel experts on Twitter and Facebook, and see when these deals are offered. I also like the flightdeal.com, which you can't put in Chicago, but they often do have deals from Chicago. So, you know, it takes time. It's just not like a magic bullet where you can, you know, all of a sudden it will appear anytime there is a sale from. Mm-hmm. But what you can do, and we talked about once before, is fare alerts. So if you know where you want to go, the dates you want to go, you can do this on a number of sites like Yapta, Airfare Watchdog, Kayak, and Fare Compare. You can put in your city pairs of dates and the price you want to pay, and when it drops below that, they'll notify you.
Johnny, a lot of summer vacation folks, families traveling, and I was reading something the other day about how to get your family together on the plane if you have seats that are apart, and they say check the airline website 5 days before the trip because that's when some elite flyers are upgraded to first class, freeing up their coach seats. And then they say check in 24 hours in advance when the airlines start releasing more seats. Do you have any other tricks
in that department? Doubt. So I do that all the time. I'm always looking for a better seat. So, the elite frequent flyers do get upgraded 5 days before, then the next are three, and then 24 hours. I would call, right, as soon as you book your tickets, I would call and tell the agent, try and get your seats together, because the longer you wait, the more difficult it is. Mm-hmm. And you can also ask the gate agent, but usually these guys are all crazed, and there's long lines, and they don't have time, and the flight attendants aren't going to help you. And people are not going to trade a middle seat for an aisle seat or a window seat. So whatever you do, do not get middle seats. So even if you're not sitting together, just try and get aisle seats, and then you have much more bargaining power.
But if we're like you, we come equipped with a box of chocolates.
Yeah, but even, these days the flights are so full, it's not even going
to
help.
Because they can't even do it, even if you're nice to them,
no.
Right? It's Johnny Jett, world traveler, who checks in with us once a week. I hope you didn't get caught on United while the computers were down.
Oh, thank God. I flew American the day before, and I've been staying away from United for the last few years, and I'm not planning on going back for a little bit.
Really? You're waiting for them to get everything together after the merger,
yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, I was 100,000 miles away from being a million-mile flyer on them, and I just stopped flying them because I could tell they've had some problems, and I'll send my loyalty back to them when I realize it, or when I think they're doing a better job. Right now, they're having problems.
Give me another chance at Chicago's hometown airline,
Okay. I mean, American is too, aren't they?
They're trying to become our hometown airline here, actually.
Well, I was the biggest fan of United ever. I mean, my ex-girlfriend was United flight attendant. How much bigger of a fan can it be?
I know. And now I'm beginning to understand what happened. You married somebody else. Your loyalties have changed.
That's true.
It's JohnnyJett.com, the most comprehensive site on the Internet for travel stories and deals. And I know because I have surfed every website there is out there in cyberspace. All right, Johnny, happy travels. Talk to you next week.
You too. Take
bye,
care.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Blue Sky Innovation is your Tribune department for new economy stories. John Carpenter covers all of that. Let's find out what's going on. Sponsored by Elk Grove Village. How you doing, John?
Hi, John.
Good. How are you?
Tell us about this cloud tax story.
The cloud tax was sort of set off a little bit of a firestorm in the startup world. It's actually technically not a new thing, but the city kind of discovered that they could use two different taxes. One's an entertainment tax. One's a lease service, lease transaction tax, that they could use that to cover cloud hosting costs. And I'm not even sure I'm saying that term right, but it kind of caught everybody by surprise. And in particular, it definitely affects a lot of these tech companies because they use a lot of cloud services, storing their emails, storing their data, running their online operations.
So
in other
words, they're now going to be taxed,
right,
for what they were getting for free before.
Yeah, well, what they weren't paying taxes on before. It's a 9% tax. I mean, it's not huge, but it kind of caught people by surprise, so much so that, when the city is kind of walking it back a little bit. They haven't said exactly what they're going to do. They may try and exempt startups. I mean, if you're a new company starting out, something like this could could really hurt.
So they're going to release some more information and some guidance on this in the next couple of weeks, because people are really confused about it, aren't
right,
they?
Right. And I think one of the things that kind of hit the mayor is a lot, you know, Mayor Emanuel really positions himself as a friend of startups and a big booster of the sort of growing tech scene. And a lot of people who are supporters of his said, well, if you, you know, put your money where your mouth is, if that's the case, you know, why are you sort of looking for this new way to tax us that we never really knew about?
And is this mostly going to affect startups, big businesses, or is it also going to affect residents?
It affects private citizens. Yeah, it could affect residents.
Way?
Well, Netflix. I mean, Netflix is, you know, Netflix uses the cloud, and so other services that you use.
So then now you would be taxed, or
taxed, but you would presumably pay more. I mean, you know, when a company you know gets hit with a tax, you would expect they would pass it along. So.
Talking about startups, there was a record set in Chicago this week, wasn't there?
Yeah. We talked about the floating record. It's a Kickstarter. It's on Kickstarter right now. It's a vertical turntable, very cool-looking thing. Has a nice sound. It's on this nice wooden base, but it is now officially the largest Kickstarter ever in Chicago. They passed $1 million a couple days ago. They're now $1.1 million, and they've still got, like, 20 days to go. They hit the ground running. A lot of Kickstarter campaigns have a big surge, you know, with all their friends, fans, kind of, but often they'll lull, and the floating record just kind of keeps sort of ticking up, and you know, I don't know whether it's going to hit 2 million, but it's a good start.
Yeah. So who are the people who contribute to this, and do they contribute tons of money, or is it a lot of people sending in $10?
Nope. Well, in this case, because, you know, it's a product Kickstarter, there's all kinds of Kickstarters. You can raise money for, like, a art project on Kickstarter, and those are the ones where you have a wide range. Somebody might kick in $1 or $100. But for something like this, almost all of the backers, which are the people supporting the Kickstarter, are putting up $349 because the reward is the vertical or the floating record.
Once it's created.
Right, once it's created. And the Gramavox, the company that's doing this, has already done one other Kickstarter, and they did it successfully. So pretty good track record. I mean, I think, and I talked to the CEO, and I think they're kind of ready to make these things.
And let's say something about this festival that kicked off last night that I don't think anybody knows about, but someday it might be like Chicago South by Southwest.
Yeah, you know, I went to it last night, and it was really good. It's called Glapit Nova, which is a word that doesn't really mean anything. It's meant to sort of make you think, well, what's going on? It's a festival of ideas and music and culture. So they had a real target for millennials, so young people. So a lot of the startup crowd was there. You know, you throw in South by Southwest and TED Talks. I mean, last night's event, there were these 10-minute talks. Mm-hmm. Harper Reed, who's a pretty well-known tech guy, mm-hmm. Seth Kravitz, a lot of interesting people got up and just told short stories. Then there were also musical performances and sort of artsy things. It's not that big yet, but it's definitely growing. And to me, what's interesting is a lot of people want to bring South by Southwest to Chicago. Just about every mm-hmm. city of any size sees South by Southwest, this great festival of tech and music, and says, we got to have that here. Well, just moving it somewhere isn't going to work. And what's more likely is that something like this on its own will kind of grow the way South by Southwest started off as a really small thing. And Glapit Nova is pretty small. People are starting to find out about it. It was a really nice crowd. And to me, what was kind of interesting, a pretty diverse crowd. So it was a lot of fun. And I, you know, I'd urge people to check it out.
You just need to know how to pronounce it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Glapit Nova.
Yeah, for that to catch on, maybe we would think of a catchier, easier to say.
Yeah, they might. They might want to think.
John Carpenter, covering Startup Ventures for The Trib. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
You next week. Before you make important financial decisions, join the online community at wallethub.com and get answers from experts. Your wallet will thank you.
Business headlines and the stories behind them. The Wintrust Business Lunch, Saturday edition, tomorrow at noon on 720 WGN.
Social media business now. Let's get Scott Kleinberg, who writes the social column in the Tribune. Hey,
Hello.
Scott.
Hello.
Hey, Scott.
Facebook news. We have breaking Facebook news today, don't we?
It's actually really exciting news. It is Facebook finally saying, you know what? You should have a little bit of control over what you see in your newsfeed, which is something that Facebook is very protective of. It's all algorithm-based, all machine-based. This is called See First, and it means that you can take any profile, any person's profile, or any page, even, you know, your page, and you can click the See First button, and it means that it will add a star to that particular post, and as soon as that page or that person posts, it will appear at the top of your newsfeed.
So where do you see that that sign that says See First?
It depends on what you're looking at.
I'm on our Serrat and Murciano page, for example.
If you're on the page on a desktop where it says liked or following, like right below the main photo, if you hover under usually where it says following, you'll see default and you'll see first. And if you're on an iPhone, it's a little bit different. It's under the More menu and it's under the Settings menu. So it looks different depending on where you're looking. But the only place right now that you can't do it yet is on an Android device. They're going to do that in a few weeks. But for now, if you use the web or you use your iPhone, you have much more choices than you had yesterday at this time.
And okay, so again, if you're on a desktop, you can find it where?
You can look under, it's either where it says like or it says following. It depends on the different kind of page that you have, but it's right in the main part where the photo is. And if you hover over there, you should be able to see it.
Is Facebook going to start a streaming music service?
Facebook is not going to start a streaming music service, or so it seems. There was a lot of talk last week because they were apparently having contacts with music labels. So people thought that they were automatically coming in and trying to take on Apple at this time. And it turns out Facebook tells Mashable and some other sources that they don't have any plans on doing that, at least right now, which is good because I think there's a lot of streaming choices out there.
I'm sure a lot of people who are YouTube stars are breathing a sigh of relief, at least right now. Okay, wait a minute. One last thing.
Yes.
Back to this thing that you just mentioned.
Yes.
So if our listeners want to have our, like, Serrat and Murciano Facebook page come up in their feed so that they don't have to scroll down to see what's up with us, they can just do that with our page, Serrat and Murciano?
Yes. It will eventually move down. It's not one of those things where it stays the entire time. It just makes sure that when you post, it automatically goes to the top right away.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now that might not happen. Now they still might have to scroll down and find it and look for it. So you know what it's almost like? It's like how you could set it to be most recent, but Facebook never defaulted to most recent. But most recent never let you pick your favorite. It just meant that what was being posted right away got posted to the top. This is a menu that basically says that your page is one of my favorite pages. So what you don't want to you don't want to add 50 or 100 pages to it because then it'll get kind of unwieldy. But if there's 2 or 3 or even 10 people or business pages that really matter to you, this is a great way to make sure they don't miss it.
Okay. That sounds great.
New study released by Google, and I like this because apparently people are using their smartphones to cook, aren't they?
Yeah. It seems that because millennials have their smartphones with them all the time, especially when they're cooking or when they're in the kitchen, that 59% of 25 to 34-year-olds bringing their smartphones into the kitchen means that they're more likely to cook. And to me, that's kind of surprising because I would think that they're more likely with their smartphones to order delivery or something like that.
Yeah, but I know when I'm at the barbecue grill, I'm always Googling best way to grill ribs or whatever it is, and you get the tips and the hints and so forth.
But you have to decide at that particular moment whether you want to actually cook based on those tips or whether you want someone else to cook
for you. Well, at that time, he's desperate because something is burning or something,
probably.
And he's just trying to get some quick help. The only problem is that there's no real good way to do that because I notice when Bob does it, he keeps walking inside so that he can actually hear it better and see it better.
Well, sometimes it's just a list, though. Sometimes it's just a list, and then you just don't know which site to pay attention to.
Right.
And you kind of look for, just like when you're looking at reviews on Yelp, you're looking for kind of a consensus.
Right. This doesn't exist yet, but it makes me think of the fact that, they have those devices, like those meat thermometers that are controlled by, like, the internet and those types of things. They could do something where, like, you put it in the meat and it, like, injects the spices and it does things like that. I mean, how far away are we from that? Probably not that far.
Probably you'll be reporting on that next week.
Yes.
And what is Twitter doing with this new project of theirs?
So this Project Lightning, this has been, they talked about this like in the last week or two. It's basically their, they want to make like a live news type of thing. So a way to follow events as they're happening. But Project Lightning is just the inside name for it. But nobody thinks it's really going to be called Twitter Lightning. At least most people don't think so. So now they're trying to figure out what the name is. That's like a really popular thing that people try to do. They figure out what the internal name is going to turn to. And some people seem to think it's going to be called Moments, but which makes sense because it is live as it's happening. But what's interesting is Facebook had an app not that long ago called Facebook Moments to do the same thing. So it seems to me like that might not be the perfect name for it, but it seems to be the direction in which they're going.
I don't even want to imagine what a person's birthday would be like if not only they received 100,000 Facebook birthday wishes from people they barely know,
right,
but also now from Twitter.
Now from Twitter, they're not necessarily giving you all the notifications, but because now you can put your birth date on the side in your profile, when it is your birthday, it will apparently, I haven't done this for myself, but it apparently shows you an overlay of balloons and it flies over and it says happy birthday kind of thing.
And then everybody sees that and then wishes you a happy birthday.
Yes.
From Twitter.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Then people will get hurt if they got a Facebook birthday wish but not a Twitter one.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different thing because on Facebook, it's by default, it shows your birthday. You can go in and make it private. On Twitter, by default, it's private and you can make it public. So the chances of you doing it, you have to do it right on both of them to make sure that you get the maximum number of birthday wishes.
Finally, let's talk about this don't judge challenge that has gone viral.
Yeah, this is really interesting. So these are usually teenagers and they're posting these photos of them in beautiful, you know, makeup and like all, you know, dolled up and everything. And then they show a photo of them without and they put like drawings of like eyelashes and things on. And they're trying to show people the difference between what they look like, you know, when they try to look different and what they look like naturally. And it stemmed from somebody who was bullied and a blogger. And it just turned into this great thing where these kids are saying, you know, this is what I look like. Accept me this way or don't accept me this way. And it's a cool use of social media.
I have been exposed to this a lot because our daughter is totally into this and she keeps showing me these either pictures or videos of these people who have like, I mean, but they do crazy things to their faces. Like they'll do like one gigantic monobrow and they'll put all this like, you know, crazy stuff on their faces.
Right.
And then the next shot is them looking, you know, like the guy in a tuxedo or, you know, looking beautiful.
Yep.
So I don't know what the point of it is, though.
I think it's not even
like this is how I look naturally. This is how I look when I go nuts.
I think their point is you should not just be liking and sharing my photos when I'm all made up in this makeup or when I'm wearing this tuxedo. You should accept me for who I am, even if I'm crazy. And exactly. And I think some people are doing that, too.
Good.
But I think other people are doing the drawings and doing the crazy things and making it go kind of out
like
of control.
Mostly a good thing. There you go for your social media business, Scott Kleinberg. Thanks as always, Scott.
Thank you, Bo. Have a great weekend.
You too. Let's get a check on the market numbers. Kim?
Things looking good. The Dow's up 191 points. The Nasdaq up 66. The S&P 500 up 23.
That is good news. Orion's looking at your money. And is this a reaction to what the Fed is saying today, or is it something else driving the market up, Orion?
Well, the market started higher in the day's beginning because of Greece. It's how many times have we said this over the past two or three months, but it looks like they may be able to come to some kind of a debt agreement before the weekend and keep Greece out of defaulting and also keep Greece in the Eurozone. So that started it all. And the news from Fed Reserve Chief Janet Yellen that she thought interest rates should begin to rise this year, just a tiny bump in the road. That's been, of course, the main watched area with the date of the beginning of the increase in the federal interest rates. So I'd say the market handled that with no problem. And if we don't resolve the Greek problem over the weekend, look out. The couple of other stories. Another recall this morning in the auto industry. GM recalling 780,000 SUVs for a possible issue with the lift gate. It includes 2008, 2012, and 2012, and the Acadia and Saturn Outlook for the same time periods. And another apparent little glitch in the computer world, TD Ameritrade, the biggest discount brokerage by trade executions, has fixed a problem on its Thinkorswim trading platform that slowed down customer order processing for about half an hour this morning, but because of yesterday's events, that got probably a little more attention than it should have. Well, we watch weekly reports on various business and commodity fronts. We now have to add one more weekly report. The Baker Hughes report on how many oil rigs were added or shut down in the past week. And the report that came out at noontime today says we added 5 oil rigs this week. And then the Department of Agriculture report. It lowered the stocks of the current crop that has been harvested, but left unchanged the yields of the projected crop that is fighting a lot of weather concerns. That sent grain prices on a roller coaster ride momentarily. That's your money on 720 WGN.
Lots of things to do around town, and on the entertainment beat for us is front row Phyllis. Hey there, Phyllis.
Hey. Hi there. The question would be, do you always get the front row?
I try. I try to get the front row.
You would
row.
Expect
sometimes
nothing.
Sometimes it doesn't work.
Nothing
I don't know
less
why.
From you. Marianne and I are going to see Aretha tomorrow night at Ravinia.
Yeah.
And
so
they've got something special going on there. Is it Sunday,
on
the movie?
Sunday. It's a big family event, and it is on Sunday. It's Fantasia. So what it is, it's something different that they've ever done. It's Fantasia and Fantasia 2000, and they do it on the big screen. So they show it whether you're in the pavilion or in the lawn. And then they have the Chicago Symphony Orchestra performing live to
that,
it.
That's got to be...
Is that cool?
Well, Fantasia,
an incredible that, event.
It's all about the great music, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it's all about the music, and it's going to be great. And tomorrow you should check out, I don't know if you guys have seen, the kids' lawn area. They just put that in.
Haven't so seen that yet, but yeah. we will walk around it when we're there on Saturday.
So that's something fun to check out as well.
Ravinia,
so the kids will enjoy that.
In Highland Park.
Yep.
And then as for theater, something good at the Goodman.
Something good at the Goodman. So it is called Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike. And I have to say, if there's one play you want to see this summer, it's this one. You will be laughing so hard that your sides will hurt. It's about three sisters. So it's three sisters, two of which live together. They kind of live a boring life. And then one, which is Masha, she's a big actress. She comes home, and she not only comes home, but she comes home with her 20-something-year-old boyfriend.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So craziness happens is what I've heard. Costume parties and voodoo dolls and I don't know. All that kind of fun stuff.
And it's through the 26th of the
It
beginning.
Really does it sound is. Like a really fun play. I've been reading a little bit about it.
Yeah, doesn't yeah. it?
If anybody wants to see Taylor Swift at Soldier Field and they don't have tickets, and that's next weekend, right, the 18th and 19th.
That is.
Any still available?
Yes. Tickets are still available for Taylor Swift, and she is kicking off her 1989 tour, bringing it here to Chicago. Pretty exciting. Some highlights of the show that I've heard is that she does do over 10 costume changes or clothing changes, and one of which is kind of a rhinestone Catwoman suit. So I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Marianne
does about 7 or 8 costume changes between now and 3 o'clock
yeah,
every
right.
day here.
Well, for every great. Segment, I'm wearing a different costume.
talk about what's going on at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater at Navy Pier.
Oh, this is a great thing. Chicago Shakespeare Theater, and that is from now through August 16th, and that is Little Mermaid. And it's a live production, so it's the kind of an abbreviated version. It's a 75-minute musical. musical live on stage over there. And you know what? It's got everybody from, you know, not only the music, but you have Ariel and all of her friends. It's going to be a great production. And again, that's over at Chicago Shakespeare, and it runs until the 16th of August.
And one other thing to keep in mind, looking ahead to July 24 and 25, Steely Dan and
yes.
Back at Ravinia.
Yep, back at Ravinia. And seats are still available, just lawn seats available, so I want to get that out there. But you know what? They will
That's
be.
That's got to be a great show. They schedule the best acts over there.
They really do.
Yeah.
They do. It's a great summer venue. And so it's two nights. And to think about it, they have sold over 30 million albums worldwide. I mean, that's crazy. And then I also just heard that they said that they have been touring more now than they ever did in their heyday.
I believe it.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
All right. It's Front Row Phyllis with the lowdown and the rundown. Thank you, Phyllis.
Thanks, Phyllis.
Enjoy
Thank
the weekend.
You.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Bob Sherrod and Marianne Murciano on 720 WGN.